Today, let me ask you, if I were to use the following phrase, just a quick show of hands, how many people would be able to explain it to me? Yom Kippur Katan. Anyone? Yeah. What? Rosh Chodesh. Okay, why Rosh Chodesh Yom Kippur Katan? So it has kapara properties. Okay. Any? Yom Kippurim, that's a different idea. Not that Yom Kippurim, but the idea of Yom, but it's a, would be, that's a good guess, Yom Kippur. It is connected to Rosh Chodesh, but not exactly. Anyone else? Okay. So Yom Kippur Katan actually is a concept, a relatively recent phenomenon. By that I mean that it's mentioned, to the best of my knowledge, in the 15th century, not brought in the Shulchan Aruch. It's something which became popularized, or, well, judging by the show of hands, not so popularized. In Tzfat of the 16th century, the Kabbalists of Tzfat, and then went on from there and developed. It's an idea connected to Rosh Chodesh, but really commemorated on Erev Rosh Chodesh. Not every Erev Rosh Chodesh. There are 4 months out of the year which it's not commemorated. Won't get into that right now, but for technical reasons, really. But the idea is the following, that, as you said, Rosh Chodesh, and we'll talk about the source for this in a moment, Rosh Chodesh has this idea of chatat, of being a kapara. You can't fast, however, on Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, on Erev Rosh Chodesh, meaning today, so there are people, and in different periods of time, I might have even been saying many people, who make the Erev Rosh Chodesh a day of fasting, a day of kapara, because sort of as were in lieu of Rosh Chodesh itself, which they can't fast on, and then it became known as Yom Kippur Katan. Every month, in effect, has its Yom Kippur, to take a stock of what you've done in the last month, and to think about where you're going from this point forward, and we call it Yom Kippur Katan. There are tefillot for Yom Kippur Katan, but Mincha Yom Kippur Katan. There are people, as I said, who fast every month on Erev Rosh Chodesh. I want to take a look at the source for a moment of this idea that Rosh Chodesh is chatat. That Rosh Chodesh itself has an idea of kapara as we get ready for this evening for Rosh Chodesh of Dar Sheni. The Gemara in the Chulin and elsewhere, Shavuot Daftet, the Gemara says the following, and this brings what I would say is a very famous midrash. You know what I mean by very famous. Everyone here should be aware of this particular midrash. Some of you probably are already. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi Rami. Shimon ben Pazi raised the following stira, following contradiction. K'tiv, the pasuk says, Vayas Elokim et shnei ha-me'orot ha-gidolim. So the pasuk in the very beginning of Bereshit, describing the creation of the sun and the moon, the Torah tells us that God made the two great lights. Uchtiv, and immediately afterwards it says, et ha-me'or ha-katan, et ha-me'or ha-gadov, et ha-me'or ha-katan. So it immediately describes them as the great light and the small light. And that is a stira, after all. They're both great lights. Why is one called the small light? So we all understand on a pshat level why the moon is called the small light, because in relationship to the sun, it is smaller. However, the Gemara relates the following story. Amra yareach lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The moon spoke to the Ribono Shel Olam and said, Ribono Shel Olam, Efshar Lishnei Melachim Sheishtamshu B'Cheter Echad, is it possible for both, for two kings, to use one crown? Is it possible for both of us to be Me'orot HaGdolim? Amar La L'chi U'ma'ati Et Atzmech. So God's response was, you're right. Make yourself small. Amra lefanav. So the moon responds, Ribono shel Olam, Ho'il va'amarti lefanecha davar hagun, amit et atzmi? Because I said something that was correct, I should bear the consequences and I should become smaller? Amar la l'chi u'mishol v'yom u'v'layla. So God's response to the moon is, don't be upset. You can now rule, you can now be present both during the day and the night. Because as we know, astronomically, the moon is not infrequently visible during the day. The sun is only visible during the day. It's not visible at night, because if the sun was visible at night, it wouldn't be the night anymore. But the moon shines at night. It shines during the day. It's visible during the day. And God says this is, as it were, this is compensation for being smaller. Amra le, my rabute, what is so great? That's the Aramaic for gadol. What greatness is there in this? Dishraga betira mayahani. What good does a candle burning in the middle of the day do? Right? You don't. You might see it. Right? When you put on your headlights, if you're driving during the day, you see the headlights, but the headlights don't really shine. What good does that do? Amarla. Zil, go. Limnul bach Yisrael yamim v'shanim. Don't worry. You, the moon, are the core of the calendar, the Jewish calendar. It's basically a lunar calendar. Amrale, the moon was a bit of a Talmid Chacham, and it responded, Yom anami i'efshar delo manu beit kufata. That's not true. There's going to be an Adar Sheni. We're about to celebrate Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. The reason why we're celebrating Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni is because it's not a lunar calendar only. We're not Muslims. It's not just 12 lunar months. We also are concerned about the solar calendar. And we have to make sure that Pesach falls out after the vernal equinox, after March 21st. And that's a solar event. That's not a lunar event. So don't tell me that the calendar is a lunar calendar. The calendar is a lunar calendar and it's a solar calendar. So I'm still not convinced. God responds, Zil, go! Likru tzadike bishmech. Tzadikim will be called by your name. Why? Yaakov HaKatan. Yaakov is referred to the Katan, the small one. Shmuel HaKatan. David HaKatan. Being small means that you are have the ability to be a tzaddik. It's not a bad thing. Chazya, the moon doesn't respond. But the Gemara responds for the moon. Chazya delo kam mitvadato. The Ribono Shel Olam himself sees that the moon isn't willing to accept the argument. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu himself says, Kaviyachol, Heviu Kapara Alai Shemi Atati Et Hayareach. Bring an atonement for me, for I made the moon small. I made the moon small, and it's something that needs kapara. It's something that needs atonement. There's a chet that's involved. V'hainu da'amar Reish Lakish, and this is what Reish Lakish said, Ma nishtana se'ir shel Rosh Chodesh, she ne'emar bo l'ashem. pay attention to the Kriyat HaTorah tomorrow. There will be a Chatat Lashem. On the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, the Torah speaks about a Korban Chatat, the same way that there's a Korban Chatat, by the way, in every Korban Musaf, except for Shabbat. Every Korban, every Musaf of every holiday has a Korban Chatat that's involved. But here, the only place where the Torah says Chatat Lashem is with regard to the Korban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. All the others, it just says Chatat. Here it says Chatat Lashem. So on a Pshat level, Chatat Lashem means to God. I bring this Korban Chatat to God. But the Midrash is saying, if it is appears only once, so then there's an alternate reading. It's not just that we are bringing a Korban Chatat to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is a Korban Chatat on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lashem, for God. That's the end of the Midrash. Now, I don't know if the moon actually spoke to God. I don't know if the sun actually spoke to God. I don't know whether Chazal felt that way or not. If you read the Rambam, by the way, right, for the rationalists amongst you, and you read the Rambam in the second parak of Bilchot Yisodei HaTorah, you'll see that the Rambam is a firm believer in the fact that the sun and the moon are intelligent beings, pure intelligence, as a matter of fact, and it's not an uncommon understanding for the pre-moderns to think of the moon and the sun as beings with intelligence. So it's not, but that's a secondary issue. I don't care if the moon actually spoke or didn't speak. The idea that the Midrash is getting across is an incredibly poignant one, and I want to take it one step further. What is the Midrash trying to say? Midrash, I think, is trying to say the following. The story is presented in a different way. If you take a look at Rashi and Bereshit, you'll see it brought in a different way. Is that the moon did something wrong. In that Midrash, the moon actually usurps its power a little bit. The moon presents itself during the day. Right? That there are two suns. It's like Tatooine. Right? There are the two suns that are shining in the sky. One is the sun and one is the moon, but the moon was only supposed to be at night. And it goes into, as it were, the sun's realm, and as punishment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the moon small. But that's not what this Midrash is saying. By the way, that's a very important message too. What that's saying is, you know, be careful about the boundaries with other people. Don't overstep your bounds. That's the message of that Midrash. But this Midrash isn't saying that. Because here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the moon into the daytime as compensation. And the moon itself says, and God doesn't argue with the moon, when the moon says, I said something correct, I said something davar hagun, and you are punishing me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says time and time again that it's not punishment to be katan. It's an opportunity to be katan. And the moon just doesn't get it. The moon finds reasons time and time again why being small isn't so good. And it's not fair. And even if tzadikim are ktanim, it doesn't matter. Why are tzadikim ktanim? So, if you think about it, what are the three things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the moon? By being katan, you're able to work behind the scenes. You can be in the daytime too, and you're there. And you're making an impression. we would say the moon, by being there, is affecting the earth and its tides. The hidden presence of the moon has tremendous influence. It's part and parcel, it's the core of our existence. It's true, yes, the sun, we have a joint calendar, the lunar and the solar calendar. We have to work things out. But it's primarily our daily schedule, our Orach Chaim, is based on the moon. And tzaddikim, true tzaddikim, are people who don't overwhelm you. They're not the gedolim in that sense. They're ktanim, they influence you. You would say, you know, when some, this is not in the Midrash, but when the moon is out, the stars, they shine too. The Orot HaKtanim, the small stars from our perspective, they can only shine because the moon is a little bit smaller than the sun. When there are Gedolim around, so then each individual star isn't able to shine anymore. And the moon doesn't get it. And most of us don't get it. And then in an act, an incredible act, this is the Midrash's explanation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no one who is greater than the moon, than the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's perfect. It says, Haviyu kapara alai. He is making an act of katnut. He is making himself smaller by saying that because the moon doesn't get it, and I, the teacher, have said something that the moon, the student, hasn't been able to really inculcate into themselves. So, have you kapara alai? It's not the moon's fault. I'm the one that needs the kapara. And that's the idea of chatat lashem. Even the greatest possible being is made all the greater by saying, Haviyu kapara alai, becoming a katan. That's what Rosh Chodesh becomes. Yom Kippur is a day, in effect, where we all become katanim. We all take a step back, and we think about it a little bit as to where we have to move forward, what we have to change. What kind of kapara do we need? I would say, taking this midrash, and I was thinking about this last night when I was thinking about what I was going to talk about today a little bit, and I hadn't thought about this in this context before, but a famous quote from Voltaire. Voltaire, so, is known for the following quote. He's known for a lot more than this quote, but this following quote. The perfect is the enemy of the good. The gadol, as it were, is the enemy of the katan. Now, it's normally quoted as the perfect is the enemy of the good. And in that regard, we'll take that translation for a second, it's basically saying, and this comes clear from this particular Midrash, that the good, the katan, looks at the gadol and feels that there's nothing to accomplish. What's the point of whatever smaller accomplishment that I can have? It's just good, or it's just good enough. And other people are capable of doing so much more. They're the perfect. What's the point in my putting in the effort? And that is the enemy of the good, because then nothing gets accomplished, or very little gets accomplished, or much good could be accomplished, but we don't accomplish it because we are assuming that it won't be as good as other people. But there's another translation, and actually it's the more accurate translation of the original French. Dikim lemu, you'll pardon my pronunciation. Elenemi dibion. It's not the perfect, which is the enemy of the good. It is rather the best is the enemy of the good. The best is something altogether different than the perfect. The best is looking not at the outside world, what's around me, but looking at myself and asking what I can accomplish. I can tell you, I'm thinking about different sichot that I've heard in this yeshiva over the years or even just this year. And I want to tell you that right now, I'm going to give you an antithesis of a lot of those sichot. Over the course of the year, and I've given several of them, we've talked about the best. We've talked about being an Olympic Jew, a professional Jew, pushing yourself to the limit, always asking, what can I do better? Always asking, how much can I accomplish? Not settling for good enough. Not settling for mediocrity. And I'm going to give you a sicha right now, the next 1 minute. It will be quick. In praise of the good enough. Rabotai, everyone in this room right now, some of you have been here for a month. Some of you have been here for 7 months. And during that time, you've accomplished a great deal. Every person in this room has accomplished a great deal in that time. Every single person has been the good. And I would argue that not a single person here has been the best. And certainly, I'm putting myself in there as well. We haven't been the best. We strive for it, yeah. But don't let the best that you can be get in the way of what you've already accomplished. If you do that, so then you stop looking at what you can further accomplish. Because you can, if you take that, only that, and only see what you are capable of and where you've gotten to, and you say, there's such a big gap between those two things. How am I ever going to close that gap? So then, you're not making a real cheshbon hanefesh. You're not really making a... You're looking at an ideal for yourself. And each one of us has a best. But we're never going to accomplish the best. But we can all accomplish a great deal of good. There's a month left in this Zman Rabotai. It's Rosh Chodesh Adar Bet. And you can take this month and you can say, I've accomplished whatever I've accomplished. And now it's a time for a lot of fun. There's a, when I was studying to be a teacher, so one of the master teachers that I had the schut of learning from, so he quipped, Mi shenichnas Adar Yatza Hashana. When Adar comes in, the year is finished. You're going to be getting into Purim. We're going to be getting into the special Adar mode, as it were. Then it's going to be the Nisan vacation and Pesach. And then it's going to be all of the things that go on after Pesach. Yom Ha'atzma'ut, Yom Yerushalayim, Shavuot. Everything that goes in. And there's so much special programming just to accomplish what you came here to accomplish. You can say, I finished the year already. Shnichnas Adar, and now coast from this point on. And for the MTA, you'll start again in Kayetzma. Don't do that. Don't let the best get in the way of the good. You're capable of doing so much more. There's so much more to learn. Biktanim. That's something which you're not going to normally hear in a sicha. Biktanim. Know what you can accomplish and accomplish it. And if you do that, then you didn't need to fast today on this Yom Kippur Katan. Then you've taken that Yom Kippur, you've done your Cheshbon HaNefesh, and you're able to truly make the next Chodesh into a very good Chodesh.